Hey, Brian Parker here, coming at you with an accompanying video to the one that I did, let's call it yesterday, 5 years from now, who will care? But yesterday, I did a default judgment set aside. So that video was how to get out of a default, how to set it aside. Accompanying that is how to get out of garnishments. I didn't want to put the two together, plus they'd go a half an hour. They work together, but today when you go through my video, you'll see the interplay and how one must be brought before the other. So let's start this. So at the end of this, you're gonna have several points that I want you to grab onto that will incorporate and encompass everything I'm telling you. I circle because I've got my notes spewing all over the place, so I at least seem like I'm talking to the camera from my memory, and it is indeed. I do ad lib, so who cares? Garnishments come in the form or notice when you get something either through your employer, your bank, or there's a lien, or there's just a notice of execution of garnishment. You look for those horrible words, execution of garnishment. And as I said yesterday, sometimes clients don't come to me until that late stage in the process. The case is done at that point. Now they're taking your cash. So you can either suffer cuts in your paycheck, your bank account. I have clients call me. They wiped out my account on a Friday and I just sent out all my checks to pay my bills. That happens commonly. So the first thing to remember in a garnishment, when you receive that paperwork, and sometimes you don't receive that paperwork, the first thing you receive is notice from your bank. And that's the law has been broken right there. But you need to object. That's the first thing you must do when you receive a garnishment. Head on straight, focused. Okay, you're pissed. Now what do we got to do? Most states have an objection time, meaning let's say it's 14 days, like in Michigan it's 14 days. So before the 14 days, if you object with the court, either through creating your own objections to the garnishment or using the one that's online, objection to garnishment. I went on a bunch of states today just to see if it's all pretty similar. There is a fill in the blanks form that you can use. You can do that or you can create your own. But you have a statutory amount of time to do that. Once that time passes, just like with defaults, now you got a problem. Here's the cool thing. If you get within the statutory time an objection with the court, it stops the bank, it stops your employer, it stops everybody from doing what they want to do, is pay the lawyer that garnished your account or your paycheck. I'll tell you why they're so eager to do that. Because in a lot of states, the punishment for not cooperating with a law firm that's trying to garnish an employee's account or a bank and their depositor's account is the bank or the employer is on the hook for the whole thing. That's the punishment. So if they don't get all the stuff filled out and the money owed to the law firm in 28 days, they're on the hook for the entire judgment. So banks or your job or your HR department will kind of cut off information with you until their ass is covered. There's no legal term for that. You've got to jump in. Let's say it's 14 days to get this done. Do your due diligence because timing is everything. Get an objection in and get it filed and served with the court. They'll give you a hearing. And then you got to get it to your employer or get it to the bank, who will not like you doing this because they just want it out of their lives. But you got to make sure that they get it. So I always say you can go online and get a objection to garnishment, and it's a fill in the blanks. Let me put it up on what Michigan's looks like. It's all the same. So Shazam, and you can see what a typical objection to garnishment looks like. Look at number one. I always tell clients go to 1F, which is the all-purpose or panacea that fits in all the holes. If you don't have all those A through E selections, you have your own. For example, I never heard of this lawsuit. That isn't on there. So you got to fill in your own. And then the court is required to give you a hearing date. So no money technically, legally can go to anyway anywhere once you serve that objection signed by the court. Create 4 objections. 1 to the court, the original, have them timestamp all the other copies. And then when they give you a notice of hearing, serve it on your employer, serve it on your bank, and make sure you serve it on the law firm that started this mess. And nobody can get any money and everything's put on hold. And that's your first bargaining chip. The law firm wants its money. The bank doesn't want to deal with this anymore. You are now stronger just by that objection. Get it in on time. By the way, in a lot of states, if you miss the time period to get the hold, let's call it the holding time period, if you miss that, you still get your hearing, you still get to object and win if you're right, and any money that's taken from you has to be returned, but that's a mess you want to avoid. But that's one way to go. You just can't stop anything once the objection time period is passed. So a pro tip to remember is what I said. 4 copies, 1 with the court, they give you a hearing date, and then the other 3, time stamp, so you can prove you got it in on time, and serve it on everybody as fast as you can. All right. So you can create your own objection to garnishment that you want, or you can do what they do, a hybrid of that. When I say they, I mean that form that I showed you. Create your own affidavit. You hear every motion hearing, every video, every debt collection video, everything I do, I always go, what's the most important thing? And that is the counter affidavit. And in some cases, I've told you how at the very beginning you do the counter affidavit, it'll travel with you all the way to the end of the case, whatever that end is. It's your friend. And it supports you here. If you have a good faith reason why you were sued, you didn't answer, and the garnishment is improper, that's in your counter affidavit. And attached to your generic form, it legitimizes it, gives you credibility, and the court gets a chance to hear from you. So does your bank, so does your employer. So that's a good thing. Always send everything. Keep a paper trail, register by mail, as you know. If you're going to the HR department, go, here's my objection. I talked to Sally. It was May 7th, and she had a hat on that said, I break for garnishments, or something that reminds you and takes a picture of her, of you handing it to her in case there's any problems. Because again, your employer, your bank, they're anti you at that point because you've put them on the hook for your entire judgment. So they want to get this thing out of, you're about to slow that down, but you're also about to give yourself a bargaining chip. The FDCPA is your friend in that even though when a default is entered and you have no more places to go unless you file an objection to the default to set it aside, anything the law firm does post-default judgment or garnishment that is violation of the law is still available for you to smack them or to use it as a bargaining chip. I have a lot of these cases called mistaken identity garnishments. What that is, and I got a call 20 minutes ago from a client, old client. He goes, hey, I just got a garnishment from a big company. I think it was MCM. And they are saying, I owe money. And I didn't even know anything about this. And I said, well, what's your name? He told me his name, meaning his dad has the same name and his dad was incurring all these debts. Now he's getting it. That's called a mistaken identity judgment. That's what I call it. So commonly I'll get calls from clients saying, all my funds are gone. I go, would you share that bank account with anybody? Yes, my daughter. That's a case I just had too. And the daughter got a garnishment. And so her entire amount that they claimed was hers was taken from the mother's. The mother is elderly and she just put her daughter's name as sort of a cheap probate approach so that when she passes, the daughter has access to money to pay for funeral costs. But it wasn't her judgment. That's a mistaken identity judgment, I call it, and garnishment. So commonly your kids are going to get into trouble like that, or seeing like the other client, seniors versus juniors, his dad was getting him into trouble. So you have to establish A, they can't do that, and B, you have a violation of law when they do something like that. Under the FDCPA, even though the mother doesn't owe the debt, if they allege she does, the rule says specifically, if you pursue someone who owes the debt or is alleged to owe the debt, then she has a violation of the FDCPA. I think 1692E5 is a good start. 1692E10 is another one. So you have options. But federal court actions are not good to upset a state judgment because it's 14th Amendment issue. So you may feel as though you have no options to fight back. You do. You have the objection. You have the FDCPA lawsuits if they continue collecting in a bad way or wrongly. So you do have options. So how a garnishment shows up is you have, let's put this up, you have an unanswered lawsuit, let's do this, unanswered lawsuit, then you have a default, and then the law firm or collector exercises on the default. You can't do anything about a default, so you set it aside. That was yesterday's deal. So you filed your objection to the garnishments. You also, as I said yesterday with set-asides, you've got a certain amount of time to do that. You have more time to do that, even though timing is key. But as I said at the beginning of this, you only have a small amount of time to object to stop the money. The point of the objection to garnishment, if it's clear and good faith, is to stop the money from going. The point of stopping the default is my head of the snake theory. Let's say you have a sound reason for killing the objection. Killing the garnishment. You object, you have your hearing, and the court says, you're right, you get your money back or they can't take your money. The default still exists, the head of the snake still exists, so you've got to do what I said yesterday, is file a motion to set aside the default. Otherwise, they'll just resurrect more snake, like a worm, you chop it and it just grows again. So that's what happened, these worms grow again. So the first step is, so I clients go, what do I do, Parker? If the garnishment doesn't cut off the head of the snake, what am I doing? File your garnishment rejection first because you have a small window, then file your motion to set aside, and now Parker rules. Those two things are probably going to be heard on the same day. The court will look at the most important one because it's got a brain, and she'll say, wait a minute, I can deal with this garnishment, but if I deal with the default, I may not have to deal with the garnishment. And that's your favorite because she may not want to deal with the garnishment deal. So if she sets aside your default with your set-aside motion, you can win that. She won't even get to the garnishment because once you cut the head off, the garnishment automatically goes away. So there are timing issues with these things. The reason I did the default motion set-aside and default video yesterday is because these two accompany each other. But it's timing. Do your garnishment and objection first. Get it done early. Then bring in your default. And as I said yesterday, you can come in with a default set aside and all the proof. And again, remember I said yesterday, in yesterday's video, let's put that video up so you can see the video I keep talking about. You don't know. That's the default set aside. It's timing. You can do all that work, have your objection, have your affidavit, as I said yesterday, as you should hear, and present that to the attorney without really doing your hearing or doing the nonsense. And if you attach that to your motion to set aside, that's very valuable because the attorney at the end of the day is like, ugh, another case, I can get rid of this. You'll get out of this without having to go to court because we all are nervous. I, 30 years of doing this, I'm still in the bathroom before an important hearing throwing up. So it's anxiety causing, and it's a pain in the ass if it's time. And if it's Zoom, while Zoom is wonderful, it's sometimes the hearing, you just can't, you don't want to do that. If you can avoid the court, as I said yesterday, keep it between you and the debt collector. So build up this objection, add an affidavit, show good faith, show this motion, present it to the the lawyer before you have to go to court, and they may deal. If you've got an FDCPA violation, you've got money coming. And you just say, here's a good tip. You know, I got an FDCPA case. Maybe I should get an attorney. Suddenly he has money to give you and to eliminate. So four steps to take. File your objection. Get your hearing first. Use it as your strength, as court intervention is a bargaining chip. This guy doesn't want to go to court. So secondly, if you can't settle the case, then file your motion to set aside, add your objection, and hope that the court sets two hearings, but then they will incorporate and just deal with the main thing. But recognize the two things are separate, mutually exclusive, in that a resolution of the garnishment is an irrelevant resolution of the snake's head. So you want to focus on the snake's head, and the other thing falls aside. If you win your motion to set aside, the whole case starts over again. That's not the case with garnishment. Garnishments are fighting one hill. Default is the war, is the victory of beating the enemy. So set aside and everything else falls apart. Your employer loves you again. By the way, if your employer is garnishing your paycheck, through no, they don't want to do that, but they're doing it. Now they're sort of pissed. Keep them constantly communicated with. Communication cures all ills. So does education. And they will see that you're not a bad guy that they automatically think you are because you're causing them to be subject to punishment and fines. So you are seeking to get this debt eliminated. So I want you to take care and realize you just got this garnishment thing and your paycheck and you've got bills to pay. You can turn this around by using Parker's tips here. So remember these things. Objections to garnishments and set-aside motions are not the same, but they help each other. You just got to be careful how they help each other, all right? While you may have a good objection proof, it does not kill the underlying default judgment. It doesn't cut the head. You have these great defenses, like I talked in terms of the lady who lost all her money because her daughter had a judgment. And she moved to another country, by the way, so her mother was putting up a lot of crap. That doesn't mean she's getting her money back automatically just by making a phone call. You've got sometimes to file something with the court or threaten to. In that case, I resolved it by showing them everything I had and threatening the FDCPA. We resolved that. The objection should always be filed first before the motion to set aside, even though the motion set aside is the most important thing. You can use all of what I told you as a bargaining chip with the debt collector to get the debt eliminated, maybe get a check in your pocket. I know that seems weird, but I need you to know there are options. Here's a good thing. If you work out a settlement, but you still owe money, but you got a lot of the debt chopped off, they're going to probably have you file or sign a consent order. Have in the consent order, and the consent order is saying, we agree, you agree to pay us, and within 10 days or 10 weeks, the whole thing goes away with prejudice. Make sure it says in there, with prejudice. Dismiss with prejudice. But a really good thing is, before you sign anything, and you agree to make payments, and you're in the catbird seat, look that up. That's a pretty cool thing. It's by from an author, James Thurber. It's called The Catbird Seat. You're in great shape, right? You should act like it. You got capital. You should use it. So say, I don't want any more collection, executions, or activity on the file while I am timely making payments. They'll agree to that because you're going to pay them money and you've kind of got them if you've got an FDCPA violation. But the debt was too big to eliminate, but you got it down. So I think the underlying theme with all this is, it's all hybrid, man. There are rules, and then there are Parker rules. And 30 years of doing this, I knew the nuances and the back doors for you, and that's what I try to present you. Courts will do what you ask them, but at the end, they make the decision on the vehicle they use to give you what you want. So recognize, sometimes you're filing things you know aren't going to get heard, but you're doing that because there's a 14-day window, for example. So your take from this is you have options. you can beat this back. If you want to feel bad, have 5 minutes, go lay down and be mad, and then come back swinging, man. Because the objection to garnishment is your friend. If you attach an affidavit, you're going places. The motion to set aside that I talked about yesterday and getting aside that default is the head of the snake again. You kill that, you kill the whole snake and all these collection things and no more problems. Communicate with your employer, communicate with your bank, because they suddenly will shut you out. Don't, it's like having a girlfriend say he's not calling you back or answering your texts. That's the feeling you will get. You're on your own, you're on an island, but you're not. I'm with you. Follow my tips, call me, contact me if you need me. These are really good on my membership website, collectionstoppersolutions.com. I'll attach this objection to garnishment notice, and I'll also attach my show notes, which are really instructions. I think they're helpful, better than maybe I'm helping you. And that video will be on my membership website next to the set aside, because they really go hand in hand, even though they're two mutually exclusive things in some sense. Like, love, subscribe, and we'll keep banging away. Again, the take is, you feel like crap because you got this thing. Turn it around, man, and start fighting back. Great. Thank you.